are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. An amazing seller, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Welcome back to Locked On Spurs on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, San Antonio Spurs writer. I'm glad to have you back. Happy Monday. The Spurs are getting back to work just as you are starting your work week. They're on the road. Yay. That's a good thing. Against the Washington Wizards tonight in Washington. It is an early game, so keep that in mind. 6 p.m. Central, 7 Eastern. So that's what we're going to be doing today. We're going to be looking at today's matchup, some keys to victory. What do the Spurs got to do to keep this mojo going that they got at the right time with the play-in slash playoffs looming? Also, Luka Šamanić. We haven't talked about him in quite some time. Remember how he played really good in Austin? And what happened? It just kind of went poof, and he's getting quiet again. What is going on with Luka? Is he getting that Spurs process treatment? Is it something bigger? We're going to dive deep into that topic with my good friend from San Antonio's very own ESPN San Antonio. He is Michael Jimenez. He's the co-host of the Sunday Sports Grill and also the co-host of the Fantasy Gods. He must be that good if he's calling himself a god. Welcome back, Michael Jimenez.
Oh, I'm going to be honest with you, man. My mom did not like it when I used the word god, but I had to tell her it was tongue-in-cheek, man. It's about fantasy sports. But it's been fun.
Hey, welcome back to Locked On Spurs. I appreciate you. And you ready to talk some Spurs Wizards?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, for any hot take that Mike is about to give you, you can make sure to follow him on Twitter at 210 Fantasy God right now. So the Spurs and Wizards are going to tangle tonight in Washington. Let's just get this out of the way first. Yay, the Spurs are on the road. Am I right, Michael?
Oh, exactly. They're a completely different team on the road. And it's interesting seeing this game because it's a mirror image of each other. Both teams are fighting to make the tournament or make it to at least the eighth spot. You know, the Wizards coming in on the 10th spot in the East. So they both have reasons to play hard tonight.
Yeah, they really do. And you look at the Wizards, they're just hot late. They're on some good, 7-8 game winning streak right now. Mm-hmm. You got the play of Westbrook. He's ran into form right now. He's paired up with Beal. You got former Spur Bertans. It should make for a very high-octane offensive game, but I actually think this is one of those games where the Spurs are going to have to rely on their defense if they want to slow down Washington, Michael.
Oh, 100% agree. I mean, because you take a look at that roster over there with the Wizards, you know, you mentioned Bradley Beal. He can go off for 40, 50 points, man. The guy is a stud out there. You never know what you're going to get with Russell Westbrook. You know you're going to get a lot of stats, but whether they're meaningful stats is a completely different thing. And then you have Davis Bertans back there, you know, former Spur. He can light it up from three at any moment. So, you know, there's a lot of different players that the Spurs need to focus on tonight, but the Spurs have the defenders on the backcourt. Derek White playing a lot better. You know, DeJounte Murray. The Spurs have the defenders. Jakob Poeltl, Drew Eubanks doing very well inside. They just got to keep that intensity up.
Let me tell you how much this Wizards team's averages in just in home losses. This is just their home loss averages, point production. 119 points per game in just in losses. So they love to score that ball. And I think another key to the Spurs win is controlling pace. They have to control the pace. They got to get back on transition defense. And Michael, that's something the Spurs have been suspect this season is getting back in transition D.
That's a scary number that you're talking about there of 119 in losses.
That's just in their losses. Yeah.
Right. Because the Spurs, you know, have a very difficult time getting it above 115. It's not to say that they can't do it or they haven't done it in the past, but that's just not the style of play. So I think early on in this game, we're going to see whether or not this game is going at the Spurs tempo or the Wizards tempo. And I'm fascinated to see what that's going to be, because if it's going to take 120 plus points to score to win this game, then I wonder who's going to step up at that point.
Yeah, now, the Spurs definitely want to take advantage of the Washington Wizards' boneheadedness, if that's the best way to say it. They're first in fouls. They foul a lot. And so they're ranked number one in the NBA in that department. But they get to the free throw line. They're third in free throw attempts. That tells me, Michael, this team is going to be attacking San Antonio.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, if you have Russell Westbrook out there, that's all he does. He just attacks the rim over and over and over again. Same thing with Bradley Beal as well. They are veteran players. They know how to get to the line. It's very similar to how DeRozan plays. You know, DeRozan has his attempts at the free throw line every single game because he attacks the bucket and he's smart enough to get defenders up in the air. That's what we're going to be up against today. And it's interesting because, you know, we talked about tempo. Right now, if you take a look at the spread of this game, the Spurs are actually favored in this game by 2. But the Vegas line thinks it's going to be a slower tempo. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see how that all comes about.
We touched on tempo. We touched on transition D. Is there another key to a Spurs win tonight that you think we missed?
I think the interior defense is very, very important. And you take a look at the last game the Spurs played against the Pelicans. Drew Eubanks, Jakob Poeltl combined for 7 blocks. And if the Spurs can get production out there of somewhere between 5 to 7 blocks out there from their centers, I think they're going to have a really good chance of winning this game, or at least controlling the tempo. When I look at Jakob Poeltl and Drew Eubanks, I look at them as one player because they're never on the court together at the same time. So if I can get from them, the Spurs can get from them, say, 14 to 15 points, with a combined 14 to 15 rebounds, with a combined 4 to 6 blocks. I think that's an efficient play right from that center position. And I think when they get that from those two players, the Spurs usually have a pretty good chance of winning the game.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And look, you look at the Washington team, and yes, I get it. Westbrook and Beal, you know, those are the marquee names from there, but you can't discount their peripheral players. Alex Len, Raul Neto, Isaac Bonga. I got Isaac Bonga. He scored at least 10 plus points, you know, in X amount of games already. So he's not just kind of like that, you know, kind of do it all, you know, just dirty, you know, goes in and do the dirty work. No, he'll get some points on the board. You look at also a guy like Alex Len. You know, he's already had 15, 10 point plus games, double doubles already since joining the Wizards. So these guys also can complement well the tandem of Beal and Westbrook. And of course, you know, we're not talking about Bertans. He had a slow start to the season. His shot was off. He was getting a lot of business from Wizards fans, but he's slowly coming on right now. He's being the Bertans that we've seen once he left San Antonio to join Washington that first year. Well, maybe not through no fault of his own. He got traded. Thank you, Marcus Morris. But nevertheless, Bertans is a guy that historically has played well against his former team, Michael.
Oh, that happens a lot in the NBA. You know, you have players who go against their former team. They have an added incentive, a drive, because, you know, the Spurs didn't want him, you know? I mean, the Spurs liked his production, but ultimately they decided that they wanted to get rid of him for a different player. So yeah, I think that there's a pride factor involved. Bertans, like you said, had a slow start to the season, but now he's back to his normal averages, you know, reverted back to the mean in the sense that he is now north of 40% when it comes to shooting from three for the year. And if you take a look at some of these other players, one of the things that I guess the positive for the Spurs is that the Wizards aren't necessarily at full strength because a lot of their young guys are hurt, not able to play. But to the credit to the Wizards, man, like you said, a lot of younger players have stepped up and have done very well. They're on this very hot streak right now. And it's kind of interesting to see these two teams going at it because they're both going in the right direction. Just 2 weeks ago, if you were to look at both of these teams, you would think to themselves, oh, well, they're both lottery bound. Right. And now 2 weeks later, we're looking at it thinking to ourselves, wow, they can actually make noise. It looks like they're going to be making at the very least the play-in tournament. And it's amazing the difference that 1 or 2 weeks can make.
Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3, post, screen, and interview, all on Indeed. Get yourself some quality short list of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster and only pay for the candidates that meet the must-have qualifications and schedule and complete the video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. Look, Indeed makes connecting with and hiring the right talent fast and easy with the tools like Indeed, their instant match, giving you quality candidates whose resume on Indeed fits your job description immediately and Indeed skills test that on average reduces hiring time by 27%. You can't go wrong with it. Then going with Indeed, you can choose from more than 130 skills tests. Then add your must-have requirements so only you pay for applicants that meet them. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers four times more hires than all other job sites combined. If you're hiring, you need Indeed. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/locked. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked. Indeed.com/locked. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever, and I swear by that. They got 18 amazing flavors, 6 new ones, including cookies and cream, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Can't forget some of the OGs, raspberry, banana bread, mint brownie. They all got them there at BuiltBar.com. Those bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they're soft and easy to chew. Look, they're great for the health-conscious person. They're great for losing weight, maintaining weight, or you just want to indulge in a delicious snack that's also good for you. What you want to do right now is go to BuiltBar.com. That's BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKED15 to get yourself 15% off your next order. I'm going through boxes left and right. I think I have like 4 left. Can't wait to dig into them and then get my new box over at BuiltBar.com. And when you go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Just one more thing about Bertans before we give our final thoughts on tonight's game. So this is go month by month. So this is Bertans shooting from the 3-point line month by month. December, he shot 28%. Very well below his what we know him to be and what you know he can score from beyond the arc. So you fast forward to January, 35%. You go to February, 43.5%. You go to this month, 49.3% from the 3-point line. He's on. He's catching fire at the right time. Spurs definitely got a key on him. And as Michael and I highlighted, he loves going against his former club. Just ask the Spurs. I think DeMar DeRozan, in the first game of the meeting this year between San Antonio and Washington, he remembered what Bertans did against San Antonio. So there you go, everybody. Tonight's game, how do you see it going down, Michael?
Honestly, it's very difficult to kind of handicap this game. It's one of those things where
I thought you were a god. I thought you were the fantasy god.
I'm a fantasy god of football. Football god. But when it comes to this game, you know, it's interesting because you don't know what team you're going to get with the Spurs. I mean, look at this past week. The Spurs had a very positive week in the sense that they won more games than they lost. But that game that they lost to the Heat was just kind of a gut check because the Spurs didn't have a chance at all in that game. But then again, you know, you go back a week before that, they go into Phoenix and they just annihilate the second best team in the league. So to go into this game to say, well, which team is going to show up? I will say this, the Spurs play better on the road. We have seen that consistently over the year. So for some reason, they just can't turn it on at the AT&T Center. But this game is going to be a very interesting game. I think the Spurs do take this game. I think one of the keys to the game is just let Russell Westbrook shoot, man. You do not want Bertans out there just firing it out there. You don't want Bradley Beal. If you had to pick your poison, you pick your poison in it being Russell Westbrook because though he is a stat monster and he gets you points and rebounds and assists and steals, it's very inefficient. So if the Spurs can have Westbrook be the offensive focal point of the Wizards this in this game, I think the Spurs can win. I'll take the Spurs by 4.
Absolutely. I think I'm with you right there. I think the Spurs get the W mainly because they're on the road and they seem to rally on the road. And then, too, you know, I just think you know, defensively you give the nod to San Antonio. And why do I say that? Well, let's look at what San Antonio has been doing in the last few games. They have 3 consecutive games, Michael, of more blocks than their opponent. They have 2 consecutive games of less turnovers than their opponents. And, they're also playing clean basketball. They got 4 straight games of less fouls than their opponent. So I think the Spurs are peaking at the right time. They're getting it done defensively. And as you mentioned, Eubanks and Poeltl, they're doing their business. They're handling things in the paint. Should be a win for San Antonio. But, you know, we talked about, you know, the Spurs. And, you know, you look at the Spurs and they are a young team. They're in the rebuild/retool mode. And, Michael, you hear it all the time. you know, DeJounte Murray, Derek White, Lonnie Walker, you know, Devin Vassell, these guys, yay, the future of the Spurs, these young guys. But there's also a guy that also got drafted with Keldon as a part of that core. In the same draft, same year, ahead of Keldon. That guy's name is Luka Samardžić. What happened? Let's rewind the clock a bit here. So he gets assigned to Austin in the Orlando G League and plays lights out. Michael, you saw it. I saw it. Fans were clamoring for him. Call him up. Recall him. Recall him. There were Spurs recall him. Maybe because they had no choice because they were down bodies. And that was the whole COVID moment of the Spurs season. But nevertheless, he's balling out in Austin. He comes to San Antonio, the recall, plays pretty good, all things considered. Popovich then goes on one of those post-game conferences and tells the media of the world that Luka Samardžić has earned himself some minutes. And so far, nothing. He's been stapled to the bench for the most part since that big proclamation. He gets garbage time minutes, Michael, but it's not as what we've seen. Now, he got the start, I think, the other day, but again, he got yanked and, you know, been back to the bench and didn't really see that much time. What do you think is the future of Luka Samardžić in San Antonio? What do you think about this erratic playing time he's getting right now? Maybe we shouldn't be surprised because it is Popovich. We know how he is with young guys. But what are your thoughts on Luka Samardžić this season and beyond?
That's the frustrating part of being a Spurs fan this year. Watching this past week, you know, you see the Spurs go off, win 4 out of 5 games. And as a Spurs fan, you really shouldn't complain if they're turning the corner and they're winning games. But the frustrating part was knowing that not only Luka getting garbage time minutes, but for the most part, Devin Vassell getting those garbage minutes as well. It's frustrating to watch. And it's one of those things where Spurs fans can be disappointed or frustrated because we don't know what we have in Luka because we haven't seen enough of him. Take a look at the 2019 NBA draft. Luka has played the fewest games of any player drafted in the 2019 NBA draft. In fact, there are 17 second round players who have played more games than Luka. That's crazy to me.
That is
absolutely crazy.
Crazy
to me. And if you take a look at it even further, Keldon Johnson has played the 7th fewest games out of all players drafted in the 2019 NBA draft. So it's just, you know, San Antonio, if you are a draft pick from, if you're going to be a first round draft pick for the Spurs, you're just not going to play. As long as Pop is in charge, as long as Pop is on the bench, you're just not going to play. And I can see a time in the future where there's going to be some players who may not want to be drafted by the Spurs. And I know that Spurs fans look at this and think, oh, well, we're the Spurs. Hey, man, it has been a while since 2014. It is 7 years past. Tim, Tony, and Manu are not walking through that door. I think we're going to reach a time where if Pop is on the bench, you might not have rookies who want to come here and may vocalize that. We may never hear it. We may never see it. But I think it's very possible because when they're not being played, something happens, okay? First of all, there might be a confidence issue, an ego issue where it gets dented. But beyond that, it affects their ability to get good money for that second contract because they're not out there proving themselves. Seeing Luka out there, last 10 games, 6 minutes played, 15, 4, 3. He had a game where he had 17, but then he had a do not play, did not play, 8 minutes, do not play, do not play. That's 4 DNPs out of the last 10 games. Last 10 games, he's averaged 5 minutes out there. Right. How exactly is he going to get better doing that? So on one hand, the Spurs are winning, and we should be excited that they have caught up in the standings and are in position to leapfrog into the eighth spot. But at the second time, just looking at it a different way, it's difficult to see players out there like Rudy Gay getting a lot of minutes, Patty Mills continuing to get 24-plus minutes. It's difficult because we don't know what we have with our young guys. Now, going forward, what does that mean for Luka?
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Look, football may be over, but your NBA, your Spurs, the NHL, MLB, they're in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. You get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. And BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds, and it's simply the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Go to the website right now, that's betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts, and use promo code LOCKEDON.
I think part of it's going to be his big year has to be next year, or he's just simply gone. Because the Spurs are going to have some veteran players who are going to go off. You know, we've already got LaMarcus Aldridge off the roster. You know, we don't know if DeRozan's going to come back or not, but we have players. Rudy Gay is going to be a free agent. We have other players who are going to fall off. And if Luka is not considered to be part of that core, and he's going to be regulated to Austin next year, or he's going to be just somebody who's going to get garbage time minutes, then there's no reason for the Spurs to pick up any options on him at that point. Why would they at that point? Why would he want to return? It's frustrating, and I don't want Devin Vassell to go this route either, because I look at the roster right now, I can tell you this much. Devin Vassell is probably the fifth or sixth best Spur on the roster. And the fact that he is not on the court is very, very frustrating and borderline makes me angry. It's just The Spurs' way as long as Pop is there. But I tell you this much, I don't think that would be the Spurs' way if Becky Hammon was the coach.
No, I think she'd probably that's one thing I think, whether it be Hammond or any other coach, would buck that trend with the Spurs system. You got to let their young guys run. Look at Memphis when they got all this bevy of rookies and young guys, they let them run. And I think you're seeing that. That's the trend in the NBA. Young, athletic. Spurs do veteran past their prime, get minutes. That's been their trend for years. It's not a recent thing. This has been years for Popovich. When I think about Luka, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think there's only X amount of times where a team can assign a player to the Austin team. Mm-hmm. Like I think that is coming up soon. Either he's going to be on that bench or playing next year. I don't think the G League is going to be in his future moving forward. Somebody's going to correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure of that. But I think that is what the rules are. So Luka is going to have to start playing soon. I agree with you. I think next season is going to be his money season. I think you're going to have to see something out of him. But look at what he's doing right now. 27 games played total, 3.3 points per game, 2.0 rebounds as of this recording. That's something we expect out of what the number 19th pick in the NBA draft. And I think you look at Luka and you see the tools there. Look, remember that dunk he had recently? I mean, that mm-hmm. kind of driving the baseline, cutting the baseline and dunk. And it was great. It was awesome. You see that. You're like, that's the Luka. There it is. And we saw it in Austin, but that's Austin talent, competition. Do it here. And we see him do it here. And I think either it's still a mental thing, because when he was in Austin, out in Orlando, I was able to talk to him a few times, and he openly admits that he was a confidence thing. It was a personality thing. He's very shy. Even R.C. Buford, during his rookie season, he told, I think it was during an Austin broadcast, that Luka has to be more assertive. And I wonder if that's the issue. We know physically he has the tools. Michael, what if it's simply between the ears and the Spurs see that?
Well, that's a generational thing, I think, that Pop might not understand, is that the players that he is used to from, you know, that played in the 90s, early 2000s, come from a different generation and have a different mentality. I'm not saying that the younger generation is weaker. It's just different. And as far as Luka's confidence is concerned, it's hard to generate confidence when you don't know your role, when you don't know when you're going to be called on to play. I mean, I think it's easy for fans or for even coaches to say, you know, make a difference when your number is called. But it's kind of hard to make a difference when you can't mentally prepare for what is at hand. And I don't blame Luka at all. I mean, take a look at the last game against the Pelicans. They brought him out there for a few minutes. He has a kind of a boneheaded defensive decision. He fouls somebody on a shot, and he got a quick hook. And you have Pop just berating him there. And I'm looking at that thinking, you know what? That would have worked on players 10 years ago. It would have worked on players 15, 20 years ago. But I don't think necessarily those drafted most recently, or the younger guys, or the new generation is going to take that. That's not how they learn or how they function. You know, the Bobby Knight type of coaching style from back in the day is not kind of the thing anymore. It's hard for Luka to, it's hard for us to blame him, for me to blame him, because he doesn't know if he's going to get a run of 5 minutes or of 20 minutes. But I look at it this way, and I'm going to lump Devin Vassell in this. I think that worst case scenario, when they're on the court, you have a good defender. And in the sense of Vassell, you have an elite defender. That's the difference, and that's what I think is going to save the career, save Luka's career, is the fact that, yeah, he improved in Austin offensively, and those are the highlights that you see, him getting that dunk or shooting a couple of three-pointers. That's what you see, but what's going to make a career for him is the fact that he can actually defend multiple positions. And we've seen that, not just in Austin, but with the Spurs in the limited time that he's had out there. Like you said, when there was COVID issues earlier this season and you had players missing games and he was forced to go out there, he showed that he could play defense and in some cases locked down some pretty deep, some pretty good players. So it's very frustrating.
Right.
Yes, go ahead.
Look what it took for Popovich and the Spurs to play Keldon and Luka. It took a pandemic to get Keldon going. And then it took no bodies because of the COVID hit that the Spurs went through earlier this season for Luka to get the recall and get some PT. It takes that type of level to get these young guys to get burned. Unless your name is Tim Duncan, Kawhi Leonard, or, you know, Manu. Well, not even Manu, because Manu even got it a little bit to start his career. He was Michael Finley was preferred over Manu Ginobili. Even for a little, about a year, I think it was Speedy Claxton over Tony Parker. But that just tells you, even when you have guys of the ilk of Manu and Tony, Pop will always go to his vets.
Well, when it came to Tony, I understood it. I mean, Tony was 19 years old, and he looked like a deer in headlights out there. And Speedy Claxton, who didn't have, you know, the most, you know, inspiring career of all time, was actually mature enough and confident enough to actually just not make any mistakes. Tony took a while, right? But I think the frustration now is taking a look at Keldon Johnson. You look at last year, you can't tell me that Keldon wasn't a better player than Bryn Forbes last year. You can't tell me that he wasn't a better player than Marco Bellinelli. And this year, you can't tell me that Devin Vassell isn't as good, or if not better than, or have a higher ceiling than a Rudy Gay or Patty Mills. And don't get me wrong, Rudy Gay and Patty Mills, you know, back in the day, Vinnie Johnson for the Detroit Pistons was called the microwave, you know, come in and can just get 15 points right away. That's what Rudy Gay can do. That's what Patty Mills can do. But it can't necessarily be counted on. It's one of those things where it's like, it's great when it happens, but we can't actually expect it, right? And it's amazing the way that we're looking at it. And I think right now, you know, players talk to each other. This isn't back in the day where players don't interact with each other. Players talk to each other. And I wonder what the Spurs' reputation is now in the year 2021 in the NBA amongst young players. Because if you take a look at these players that are graduating, no one graduates and goes to the NBA anymore, who are going one and done or two and done. They were 11, 12 years old when the Spurs won their last title, right? So 13 years old. And it's not like it was yesterday. It may feel like it was just yesterday to us, you know, but for a younger player right now who's coming into the league, they're going to come to the Spurs, and if Pop is still on the bench, they're going to have to know they're just not going to get any burn, man. It's just not going to happen. It doesn't matter how good you are in practice. They're not going to get any burn.
That's well, let me tell you this much. I was able to interview both Samanich and Keldon, even Weatherspoon in that 2019 draft. And to a T, Michael, all of them said that, let's put it this way, all of them were very well aware of the Spurs developmental process. They knew it right away. So either, they talked, the agents let them know, like, your number 19 pick, Luka, you're probably going to be in Austin. You know, Keldon Johnson, you're probably going to be in Austin. And sure enough, it happens. But, you know, the counter to that, Michael, you'll get it. is, well, look at him now. Look at Drew Eubanks. Went through the Spurs system, and look how he's playing. Look at Lonnie. Same thing. DeJounte, same thing. You know, there's the inverse about that. What do you about that argument that, well, the proof is in the pudding. This process works.
I think it's all about ceilings. You know, so the Spurs do have a player development system that has done very well with late first round draft picks. You know, the Derek Whites of the world, the DeJounte Murrays of the world. But a lot of these players had the tools, had the skill set while they were drafted. They fell in the draft, you know. And so I understand, you look at Drew Eubanks and you go, okay, he went from being a G League type player to the end of the roster player, undrafted, to an end of the roster type of player, to a junk minutes type of player, to now somebody who can be counted on for 10 to 18 minutes on the court. I get that. Okay. Derek White last week averaged 21-5-5. Right. And he was a end of the first round player. Not a lot of players, not in a, he was not considered to be highly touted going into college. And the Spurs helped develop him after he was done with Colorado. Right. So I understand that argument. My thing is, though, is there are certain players that should break out of that shell who have higher ceilings, and everybody knows they have a higher ceiling. That would be players like Devin Vassell. Keldon Johnson, even though Keldon Johnson dropped all the way to 29, he was not considered to be the 29th best player in that draft. And that was something that just got gifted to the Spurs. So I think when we look at players and when we try to see what their potential is, we have to be realistic with it, right? We have to be realistic as what is their upside potential? Is there upside potential being a role player? Is there upside potential being a starter? Is it being an all-star, a fringe all-star? What is it? And you can't tell me that the coaching staff doesn't know what the ceiling is for these players from the get-go. You can't. When it comes to Luka, we have no idea what his ceiling is because he has not been given the run to do it. We see him do well in Austin. It's a double-edged sword, man. You know, you have me it twisted right now because as much as we fault the Spurs for the way that they develop players, because it has worked for some players, it has worked for a Derek White, it has worked for a DeJounte Murray, that doesn't necessarily mean that it works for all players.
Right.
You can't treat everybody the same because people have different personalities, different skill sets, different ceilings. And I'll tell you what, I mean, come on, man. Are you telling me that if the Spurs didn't make the playoffs this year, and let's say that they got into the draft and they only have a 2% chance of making it to the top four, but they make it to the top four, right? Let's say they get the 3 or 4 pick, right? And they get Kuminga or they get, you know, Mobley or somebody like that. You're telling me that they're going to send them to Austin and let them rot there. I'm sorry. I used the word rot. Develop there for a year when they are probably better than half the players on the team. Are you telling me that they're going to do that just because?
Hey, Michael, you know what? I would not be surprised, though. I would not be surprised.
And isn't that so dumb?
I would not be surprised. No, I can get maybe a week and a half. I would get that. But to be there for the entire rookie season?
Yeah.
That would be something interesting. Well, Michael is fired up, and I'm pretty sure you are right now after his rant on the Spurs' future players, young guys, Luka Šamanić, and much, much more. But we're done talking. We want to hear from you. What do you think about tonight's matchup? Spurs, Wizards. Spurs got what it takes to continue their winning ways and move up that play-in tournament, maybe playoff spot. Let us know how you think the Spurs and Wizards are going to go down tonight. And also, what do you think about Luka Šamanić and the rest of the Spurs young guys, at least in this era, how they're being treated? Michael went off right now. He loves to do that, and he does that a lot more on his show, the Sunday Sports Grill, and the Fantasy Gods over at ESPN San Antonio. Michael, tell us what's going on with those two shows. How can fans tune in? Where can they follow you?
Fantasy Gods hopefully will kick back up again in July after when the football camps are back in action.
The Sunday Sports Grill draft too, right?
Yeah. Oh, we have the draft this week.
Yeah.
That's exciting. It's exciting, you know. So we're hoping this year we had a fantasy league for listeners. And I think this upcoming year on the Fantasy Gods, we'll be having a standard league and we'll be having some more exotic type leagues out there. When it comes to the Sunday Sports Grill, that's from 11 to 1. So it's not only sports talk radio, but we talk about pop culture, movies, music, nostalgic things and things like that. You can reach me on Twitter at 210FantasyGod. Again, you can always call into our show, watch it on Facebook Live. It's a fun show, man, because like I said, it's fun to talk sports, right? It's fun to talk about Spurs and Cowboys and things like that. But to talk things like the Mortal Kombat movie, to talk about things like Godzilla versus Kong or TV shows, things that were streaming, you know, musicians and things like that. It's a fun show, man. I enjoy it so much. And again, it's from 11 to 1 on Sundays.
Check it out right now. And were you surprised that King Kong got his, you know, what handed to him?
I'm going to be honest with you. It's free on HBO Max, right? Free on HBO Max. I have HBO Max, but my kids forced me to take them to Casablanca to go watch the movie. I spent $95 on tickets, dinner, you know, snacks and all that. I ended up falling asleep three times during the movie, so I really don't know what the heck happened.
As far as Mortal Kombat, I think I warned you. Low expectations.
I loved it, man. I enjoyed it. I went in there with no expectations. Probably why I liked it.
Even better.
You know, I like seeing all those old characters come to life. I wasn't the kind of guy who watched, you know, Marvel type movies or superhero or fantasy, this, that, and the other. I'm just not that kind of guy. But growing up in the 90s, I mean, Mortal Kombat, NBA Jam, those were my games, man. That's going to the old school arcades and playing those games. So I can go into this movie knowing who Sub-Zero is and Raiden and Scorpion and Melina and all of them. I know who they are. I know those characters. I played those characters. So I didn't mind it. I understand that it wasn't a good movie, but it was an entertaining movie if you go into it without expectations.
Yeah, I gave it a C, and the only reason it could have been lower, the only reason I didn't make it lower was because it stayed true to the video game with their moves, with their special abilities, with their look. And I said, okay, well, I'll give the director and the team a nod for sticking true to that. But other than that, I'm like, well, how do you leave out Johnny Cage? How do you call it Mortal Kombat as build up a tournament when there's no tournament at the end of the day? So there you go. All right. Well, Michael, okay, you can. Well, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, man, I enjoyed Kano. You know, Kano brought back to life.
Yeah, he definitely stole the show. All right. As for me, make sure to follow Locked On Spurs wherever you get your favorite podcasts, the new Odyssey app, Google Play, Stitcher. It's all there. Go check it out right now. And look, if you get tired of some NBA Spurs talk, don't worry about it. We got you covered. The Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 presented by Locked On and Odyssey is happening right now. Featuring analysis from NFL experts Michael Irvin. Yeah, the playmakers coming on the Locked On Network there, Michael. Jason Lacanfora. Yeah, and Brian Bollinger. Our local experts for every team making trades and picking the next stars for each team. Search Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Odyssey is your home. Well, your audio home. Let's get a little more specific here. For all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matter to you, that's A-U-D-A-C-Y. So for Michael Jimenez, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.